It's Friday night. That means it's time for The Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Yeah, that's right. Good evening, everybody. Friday night, April 23rd, 2021. I'm sure the energy will increase as we do the show. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. And thank you all for the well wishes yesterday and today. Had the CAT scan done, had the ultrasound done. Will not have my results for a day or two, but the doctor that was doing the ultrasound spotted something. And she's like, oh. And I'm like, okay, oh, is not like really, maybe it's good, maybe it's not, but it didn't sound like good. I said, you know, I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times. You know, what do you see? And she said, look, she says, you know, the doctor has to look at this and your doctor will go over with you. She says, but if I could give you just a quick opinion, she thinks that I have at minimum a liver abscess and it is very infected and it is causing now just this dull, raw pain right here almost every single day. So she said that if that's the case, then I will need to get it drained. So hopefully that's all it is, you know, but I'll tell you, today was pretty rough, just tired, stressed. Crazy shit goes through your mind with stuff like that because of the cancer scare I had 2 years ago. But enough of that. Let's talk about SmackDown. AEW and NXT caught our ratings. Impact Wrestling's Rebellion predictions. And I got to tell you, overall, this pay-per-view looks pretty damn solid. I am checking it out this weekend. I know you could ask, you going to do a recap? Honestly, I have to be truthful and say no. I will recap it next Wednesday on Wednesday Night Dynamite. Just not enough of you out there that watch these pay-per-views. I mean, I don't think people realize how few buys they actually get. And look, when you're rating, you know, oh, it went up. It's 140,000. Their rating is pretty pathetic. And I actually took note of the Impact ratings from January to now. And there is actually a clear-cut moment where the ratings have actually declined. You know, I'm sure this is unrelated, but this was right around the time Finjuice showed up in Impact Wrestling and the Good Brothers lost their tag titles. Also, Taya Valkyrie, soon as she left, as did about 20,000 viewers. Coincidence? Maybe. We'll talk about that. But I want to open up. Well, you know what? Before we open up with this Mark Carano firing and Mickey James, because I'm going to say something tonight. I know I'm not going to regret it because I tell you like it is. I tell you how I feel. I give you my opinion. You go with it, agree with it, disagree with it. Something tells me that some of you out there feel exactly the way I feel about this right now. And if you follow my show over the years, you know I am a huge Mickey James fan. But I got to be honest with you. I'm left with a really bad taste in my mouth towards Mickey James today. I'll explain why in a little bit. And I know that's a very unpopular opinion, but, you know, since when do I care, you know, like if an opinion's unpopular? I could toe the line and we could triple the viewers here, but I'd rather just give you my honest thoughts and you take it as you would. Got a couple other tidbits to get into as well. And by the way, the reason why I'm wearing this shirt, and I know it's cut off on the screen. Next week, you're going to start seeing some new overlays here that will have a lot more of the video screen. You know, I will be tweaking things little by little, you know, doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but I'm wearing this shirt today because a lot of people may not know this. Best wishes to EC3. He has been in the hospital now for about a week, a very serious infection. And, he wrote a couple of sentences about it on social media in the last couple of days. But, you know, he had an infection that, I don't want to say it was life-threatening, but, you know, people that you talk to say, yeah, it actually could have been life-threatening. So it's just crazy shit, man, crazy shit. And you know what? I'm not comparing me to him, but it's weird because when you actually research what I might be diagnosed with, that's an infection that could be life-threatening as well. Go figure. You know, it's just weird. I will tell you, tonight I took antibiotics that are like 4 years old. I found them in my medicine chest, and I said, you know, maybe this will help relieve the pain tonight. So we'll see what happens. But before we talk about Mickey James, he's back. Aleister Black, he is back in black. Now, I got to be honest with you. Him reading from a book, The Tales of the Dark Father, by the way, is not a real book, if anybody is going to ask. But him talking about the dragon, and I actually was typing as fast as I could. Let's cut the weeds. Sing our songs. Let me tell you a story riddled in sin. You will know me. You will know him. You will dance with me in the abyss. And he's talking about the dragon, how his father used to take him to, I don't know, devil's worship, whatever it is. And the boy, young Aleister Black, did not learn how to slay the dragon. He was taught to be the dragon. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but let me just say this. I saw Aleister Black with those glasses, with the pasted back hair, and the way that he was looking, his facial reaction. And I know that might sound minuscule. When you take all that together, come on, everyone, come on. Who's familiar with the Far Cry games? Tell me this did not feel like Joseph Seed. Tell me that's not Joseph Seed. Yes. Yes, I freaking love it. I love it. I only have one problem with it, though. The brains, not trying to be a jerk, the brain cells of a lot of younger wrestling fans, let's be honest for a minute. You think they're going to be able to dissect, take in all this stuff Aleister Black is saying? I mean, it's like scrambled eggs in their brain. You know, this is a little bit too sophisticated for the casual WWE fan. The one that tunes in every week. But the one that's more like, oh, look, Ray, 619. This is more for us adult folk. So I don't know where they're going to go with this. I like the vibe. I like the look. I like to talk, but if a character becomes too complicated, how far does that go on TV? How far does that go on TV? Seriously, just telling it like it is. I love it. I'm happy that he's back. And I'm glad that they didn't put him, you know, all these people, oh, Alexa Bliss, faction, Aleister Black. Yeah, why? You know, I thought of it also until somebody said to me, why? I'm like, Aleister Black is methodical, you know, quiet. But once Alexa Bliss last week said that Lily doesn't like any of the women, you know she's returning back to the ring. So I like Aleister Black as a lone wolf. I don't know if he could get a posse. But Aleister Black back on TV, I'm happy with it. I like it. And again, those Joseph Seed, you know, you look at them side by side, you're like, holy shit. Holy shit. That's definitely coincidental. Thank you. Thank you. I know you really can't see the shirt all that much, but, you know, I am an EC3 fan. I picked this up when he first got let go, and I have a few things of EC3. It might sound like I have a little bit of a cold, I did not sleep much last night. Too much on the brain. But I will be sleeping like a baby tonight because we won't have to have a long-ass show. I promise you that. Now, Daniel Bryan. SmackDown tonight. Roman Reigns gives Daniel Bryan a title shot next week. And if Daniel Bryan loses, Roman Reigns don't want him anywhere near SmackDown anymore. So that's what happens. Just telling you my opinion. That's what happens when Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania is not even buried yet, 2 weeks old, and he's doing interviews. I feel distant. I felt detached. I felt like, eh. And I might want to wrestle outside of SmackDown. I mean, what do you expect to happen? Okay, we'll give you what you want. Playing the role of Vince McMahon tonight, Roman Reigns. Oh, you feel detached? No problem. As of next week, I don't want to say you're fired, but his character on SmackDown is maybe out the door. Will he be just a writer backstage? Hell no. Guy still wants to wrestle. Would they put him in NXT? Possibly. It's going to really depend if Daniel Bryan wants to remain with WWE. But, oh, thank you, Slipper House. Slipper House, extra, extra. I don't know if you all agree, but that seemed like, okay, Daniel Bryan. Everybody's still talking about the magic of WrestleMania. Fan, just, look, we're all big Daniel Bryan fans. Inspirational. God bless that guy coming back from retirement. It's just a really good guy. There's no question. But let's just take a step back for a minute. WrestleMania, two nights, history. We're in COVID for 17 months, 16 to 17 months. It has ravished everybody financially, emotionally. It killed hundreds of thousands of people. You finally get a tiny little bit of normalcy by having fans in droves go to WrestleMania. And the first interview you do is, I felt detached. There was just something about it. You know, sometimes it's best to say nothing. I mean, everybody's still trying to take in that we're starting to get a little bit of normalcy. And he throws that out there. I thought that was a huge mistake. I talked about that earlier this week on one of the other shows. I thought that was a big mistake on Daniel Bryan's part. Now, speaking of mistakes, I'm not going to just tread lightly with this. I'm going to just throw it out there. Anybody that has been following my shows for years and years and years knows that I am a big fan of Mickey James. Not as big of a fan as Mish, but a big fan of Mickey James. I saw her last match on the Indies many, many, many years ago before she went to NWA TNA as Alexis Lurie. She's awesome. And I have talked about it for months and months and months. I hated how WWE kept forcing that the legend status for her. I'm not saying she's not a legend. If anybody that's new over here, you know, hear me out. I have no problem with her being a legend. She's a Hall of Famer. But in WWE's eyes, when they throw around the term legend, that usually means past your prime. That usually means you're pretty much done. In their eyes, once you're on the shelf and you're really not used too much in the ring anymore, that's when you hit legend status. And everybody and their mother could see how WWE handled her. Somebody brought up the point yesterday. Look at all the champions in WWE. There are a lot of champions over the age of 40 in WWE. And you mean to tell me you can't even just put Mickey James in some matches? Not saying titles, just matches. But hopefully I set that up the right way. So I absolutely love Mickey James. But I am a little bit ticked with this shit that went down the last 24 hours with this. You know, we kind of talked about it yesterday. I know SoFly, shout out to him. He's the first person that said that Mark Carano was fired because of this garbage bag incident. You know, and if you look at this tweet, Mickey James says, "Dear Vince, I'm not sure if you're aware, I did receive my care package today. Thank you." And then Stephanie writes, "I am embarrassed you or anyone else would be treated this way. I apologize personally, and on behalf of WWE, that person responsible is no longer with our company." Now, Triple H also noted that the person was fired. Now, it started coming out last night that it was Mark Carano, Total Divas star, and more. Mark Carano. I don't like Mark Carano. I've made that clear many times over the years. But I got to tell you, Mickey James right now, I think people are just too afraid to call her out on this. Because yesterday, when we did our AMA, the mailbag, and we were talking about this situation, I said, look, I don't know if this was malicious or not. Remember the conversation last night? I mean, this could very well be that Mark Carano instructed someone to mail all the belongings back to the people who were released, and the person went to him and said, look, all I got is garbage bags. And you remember yesterday the Bischoff autographed tights? You know, if I'm going to put garments in a FedEx shipping box, I'm going to probably put them in a shopping bag first to line it, to protect it in case a hole gets in the box and something leaks or this, this, and that. All right? And again, I brought this up yesterday. Mickey James never showed all of the contents that were inside the bag. So we have no idea if everything was just thrown in there, and if it was just thrown in like scattered crap, yeah, that's fucked up. But if this was mostly clothes and it's put in a garbage bag before you put it inside a box, I honestly see nothing really wrong with that. Because any of you, you sell something on eBay, you know, not everybody has tissue paper that you wrap before you put it in a Christmas box. And I kept saying yesterday, I don't know if this is malicious. I don't know if this is malicious. But you know how cancel culture is, and you know how the climate is on social media, that Vince McMahon and WWE are evil, 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 evil. And these releases, they're evil, evil, record profits, evil, evil. How could you fire someone in record profits? And those people out there, I'm not defending WWE, but these people don't have any clue of how to run a business. Imagine you run a small business, no matter how many employees you have, 10 or 1,000, and you're making crazy-ass money, and then you realize, you know, right now, we don't need 100 workers. We only need 50. And then somebody says to you, no, you got to pay all these other people because it's the right thing to do. I mean, somebody would turn around and say, hey, pass me some of that babanya that you're smoking. I mean, it's just, that's not how business operates. Unfortunately, that's just the truth. So Mickey James posts the picture of the garbage bag, and it basically trends worldwide. It just takes a life of its own. It catches fire. And as I brought up yesterday, Twitter capitalized on it. They put the little alert, fans in an uproar, Mickey James receives her care package in a garbage bag. They don't even know what's in the garbage bag because a care package is not clothes. And we already explained what care package is, but that's the words that Mickey James used. Now, why am I a little annoyed at Mickey James right now? Think about the last 24 hours of what has transpired online. Not only all the outrage, Gail Kim came out and said that when she was released 10 plus years ago, whatever it was, her stuff was shipped in a bag. Maria Kanellis. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. And guess what? And I used Maria as an example yesterday. Maria Kanellis has been very vocal about her release. If she was offended about her outfits being sent back in a bag, lined inside a box, she would have posted it 10 times by now. Most of these women never commented on it because they didn't see anything wrong with it. So what happens? this gets twisted into such a negative story the last 24 hours. And again, people took advantage and tweet fucked it. They wrote 10 times about it. And then after the 10 times, when they blew their load five times and they didn't feel like blowing their load anymore, oh, this is between Mickey James and WWE. This is another classic example of a big problem in this world. People no longer settle their differences privately. They run to social media. Mickey James, instead of, if she was offended, instead of contacting them privately, immediately social media. Everybody fucking does that now. Run the social media. Run this. You know why? Because now you got 100,000 people on your back supporting you. You don't want to be one-on-one anymore. You feel that everybody needs to know instead of handling this privately. Why do I say that? Because Mickey James wrote this today. Oh, she wrote two things. Let me show you the first one. Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate that. As I am equally embarrassed, I know it wasn't a malicious act. However, it did feel very symbolic of how I was presented in the last 3 years. Okay, she now admits that she doesn't like how she was used the last 3 years. And the bag was just the symbol. Well, guess fucking what? Mark Carano lost his job over it because it was symbolic to you. It triggered you. And you know what the social media will say. Well, 45 other people in the last 2 years or the last year lost their job, so I have no sympathy for Mark Carano. Somebody lost their job. More than one person lost their job over this. WWE has been using that procedure for 15 years. So when they act all surprised that, oh, this is disgusting, embarrassing, I had no idea, they're fired. That's bullshit. Because this is normal procedure. It's just that Mickey James was the first one to use that as a symbol to express her grief. Now, again, I know that 95% of the people out there wouldn't dare have the balls to say this or write this because of the backlash of social media. And again, I feel bad for Mickey James. I said it last week. You know, my last memory of Mickey James, although I thought she did great calling that pre-show match for NXT TakeOver, but the last impression I have of Mickey James in WWE was that match where she's in the ring like, Mickey James is one of the top women to ever step in this ring over the last 20, 25 years. In the last 3 years, they treated her like shit. She got paid comfortably, but still, it does hurt your ego and it does hurt your feelings when you know that you could put out 110% and your employer feels that you can't even put out 50. So I understand why Mickey James is upset. But let me read something else that Mickey James wrote today. Quote, I would like to address this one last time. Then we could all move on. I have so many amazing things on the horizon. The last thing I desire it to have any of that tainted with ugliness and negativity. I take zero pride or joy in the fact that someone would lose their job ever, especially someone I considered a friend. I'm confident that Vince and the McMahons had no idea that this is how we were sent packing. I tend to disagree, but okay. It hurt a fragile me much more 10 years ago when my belongings arrived on my doorstep because WWE was my everything. I've grown as a woman and a person as much as we all have in this business. I am stronger today than I've ever been and smart enough to know that it was not a deliberate attack on me. However, the symbolism cannot be denied. I am sorry that a thoughtless and tone-deaf act would cost anyone their job. But I am not sorry that I had the courage to ensure that it would never happen to anyone moving forward. What would happen to somebody moving forward? That this stuff was shipped in a bag? It's not malicious. It's just a symbol of me being tremendously let down of how I was treated. That will never happen to anybody else. Honestly, what is she talking about? What is she talking about? It was shipped in a FedEx box. It was put in a bag. You see what's missing in all of this? Never said that everything was just thrown in a bag like garbage. Was never said. All it was what it was shipped in. So what do you want? Divas tissue paper? Tell me what you would have shipped. A garment bag? So let me finish her statement. I'm not sorry that I had the courage to ensure it would never happen to anyone else moving forward. So if that's my final mark in this company moving forward, I'm okay with that. When I first started in this business, one of the best places of a piece of advice I received was, just leave the business better than you found it, kid. And that's always been my ultimate goal. I love you all so much. I am legitimately grateful for my time at WWE and throughout my whole career. I am looking forward to everything that is next. I truly hope you are, and perhaps you will join me. So Mickie James is a good person. She is a good person. She is hurt, and she has every right to have her feelings hurt. But you can on one side of your mouth say, I didn't think it was malicious, but it's a symbol to her. You know, something that's a symbol to her, you ever hear of things that trigger you? A song, something else, just because it triggers sadness from you, a relationship goes bad, and you see something or you hear something and it just brings back bad memories, you sob, you get upset, whatever it is. You think that's done intentionally to hurt you or rub it in? No. So on one side, she's saying she knows it wasn't personal, it wasn't an attack, and it wasn't malicious. And that's been the norm for 15 years. But yet, you ran and made it public. You got the entire internet, social media, against WWE, and you got people fired over it. So was that statement made out of guilt? If she knew it wasn't malicious, why'd you post that in the first place? See what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be vicious in any way, shape, or form. Mickie James is a wonderful person. She's one of my favorites. Over the years, I don't need to defend that. You know. But this is a little bit ridiculous. And this is, again, another example that people have to make everything public. You know, sometimes you have no choice. We all, sometimes when something gets to a point, you have to. I mean, I've had some things happen with me where it got to a point like, okay, I got to start posting stuff publicly so people know the truth. All right. But the thing is that something like that, you know, a simple private DM or something like, did you really need to send it? But then again, she knew it wasn't malicious. She knew it wasn't an attack. It's because she feels disappointed. So it's symbolic. Now, if she had a great 3 years and it was shipped in a bag, what's the difference? If she had an awesome 3 years and then got let go and then it got shipped in a trash bag lined inside a box, you mean to tell me that wouldn't have triggered her? It wouldn't have been symbolic? Every single woman, every single man that has been released over the last 15 years, almost all of them, have had their items shipped to them. And I could pretty much guarantee, and all the people that are coming out and saying it, they all get shipped the same way. This is normal procedure. Just because you left with a bad taste in your mouth doesn't mean that somebody was giggling when they were putting your stuff in a trash bag. I think this is wrong. I think this is absolutely wrong. And again, people out there, because of Twitter likes and because of hits and views and, you know, positive, they would never, a lot of people would never have the nerve to say this. And understand one last thing before we move on. I am not defending WWE here. I'm not defending WWE in any way, shape, or form. But just because you get triggered doesn't mean that somebody on the opposite side was trying to hurt you. This guy was not a mailroom guy. You know, in my opinion, I think they were trying to get rid of Mark Carano anyway. Nick Khan, he's bringing in his people. You're hearing about other, you know, behind the scenes changes going on, creative, you know, talent relations, media. There's a lot of changes going on behind the scenes at WWE. So this might have just been WWE's perfect excuse to get rid of him. But if you want to go just based on Mickie James's statement, and she admits that there was nothing malicious about that, then why isn't she calling for Mark Carano to get his job back? That's absent from there, too. Just saying. I thank all of you tuning in right now for the kind words. I don't expect all of you out there to agree with me on this. I'm trying to do this in a very respectful way. It doesn't change my feelings on Mickie James at all. I want to see her kick ass. She still has years left that she could perform. She's going to have that extra chip on her shoulder, and she's going to put on phenomenal performances. And I wish her nothing but the best. But this is a huge problem that is not going away. The people out there will not settle their things. They don't have the strength to settle things privately anymore. They need the support of 100,000 people, 1,000 people, 20 people, 50 people. They need the support behind them. Otherwise, this would have been handled privately. Just think of every other person who was let go in the WWE. Anyone else out there ever post this publicly? So, you know, Stephanie's comment, Triple H's comment, honestly, I don't think that's sincere at all. Because that's normal procedure. They have released hundreds of people over the years. And this was the procedure. And for some reason, because one person interprets it in a different way because they were disappointed at the way they were used for 3 years, now it's so bad that somebody should be fired over it? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So, hey, I appreciate the comments in the chat room, but in the comment section, so everybody could see it after the show is over, post your feelings on it. You agree, disagree, post it. Speak up. I'd love to see everybody's feedback on this. I'm just giving you my thoughts on it. So hopefully now we could move on with this. And, you know, that's it. By the way, did you see the new backstage announcer today for WWE? Now, for anybody out there that follows politics, especially if you followed Trump's politics, when I saw this picture, I swear to God, I wasn't paying close attention. I thought that was Kayleigh McEnery. I know some of you know who she is. Her name is Megan O'Brien, WWE. It's Megan Morant. She is now the backstage interviewer for WWE. She has a background. She was part of the New England Patriots and some other sports leagues. Again, this is somebody coming from professional sports. No issues with her. You know, I mean, she's said all the right things, very excited. You know, we'll see how it goes. But that is her. I swear, I thought it was Kayleigh McEnery. So Benjamin says it looks nothing like her. You look at her face, to me, it looks like her a little bit. So maybe not to you. I'm not always right. So anyway, let's see. Let's talk about a few other things. Let's get SmackDown out of the way. Because honestly, SmackDown was not a bad show today at all. SmackDown was a very easy show to cover. Easy. Because the opening segment and the first match took up almost half the show. 8:50 p.m. was after the last match happened, and Daniel Bryan's in the ring with Cesaro, and Cesaro is doing the swing to Jey Uso twice. We were almost at 9 o'clock. So that gives you an idea as far as what appetite. Now, you know what's going to happen. The next day or two, exclusive breaking news. There was another COVID outbreak, and WWE was extremely short-staffed. And that's why they went almost an hour with the opening segment. Problem is, when you add up all the people that were actually on TV today, it was pretty much a normal SmackDown. But you mark my words, you'll get that. You'll get that. So they open up today. A little bit of recap from last week. Cesaro hits the ring, and Cesaro about to cut a promo, interrupted by Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins giving some props to Cesaro because of his win at WrestleMania 37. And Seth Rollins is upset that Cesaro is moving on to challenge Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins insists that it's not over until he says it's over. Cesaro challenges Seth Rollins to a match. And now we got more music interruptions. Jey Uso's interrupted. He comes out, and Uso's yelling at Cesaro. He couldn't beat Roman Reigns. He couldn't beat Jey Uso. Couldn't beat Seth Rollins. So Jey Uso challenges Cesaro to a match. Seth Rollins and Jey Uso, they agree to work together, and they're about to jump Cesaro, and now Daniel Bryan's music hits. And if you notice, WWE didn't pipe in right away that big uproar as soon as you hear that music. Once he came out, you heard some of the yes stuff, because that's more like intro music now. That's not crowd reaction. That's intro music. But Daniel Bryan comes out there, and now it seems like it's two on two. And, you know, basically the storyline is that, you know, Daniel Bryan also feels that Cesaro deserves a shot at Roman Reigns. But for tonight, Daniel Bryan is happy to fight alongside Cesaro. Now Roman Reigns' music hits. Interruption. And Roman Reigns comes out, and he's mocking Daniel Bryan. By the way, I actually like this shirt. I think they have it on sale now. Smash him, stack him, pin him. That is the pin from WrestleMania. I like it. I like the shirt. But Roman Reigns, I think this was the first time, seriously, I'm not nitpicking, I'm not trying to criticize, but I think this was the first time since Roman Reigns truly turned big time heel, this was the first night where I thought his promo was goofy. You're a loser. You're a top tier loser. You're a stupid loser. You're a main event loser. If you went to the casino, you'd be a loser. You're a big loser. I don't know. I thought it was a little bit too manufactured. It's not Roman Reigns' fault. That's WWE's fault. You're all stupid losers. So what this ends up happening is you get Seth Rollins and Jey Uso taking on Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. Excellent match. You know, contrary to what some people still think, the buckle bomb is not banned, but a really, really, really good match. Yes, casino loser, Philip Promoter. You're a loser. You're a loser. Loser. Stupid loser. Extra, extra loser. You're the loser's loser. It's a little too much for me. But what ends up happening towards the end of the match, Seth Rollins walks out. Cesaro puts the sharpshooter onto Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins wants no more of this. He leaves the ring. And Pat McAfee, again, 2 weeks in a row, Pat McAfee did a great job. I'm still willing to give, you know, Adnan Virk, you know, time. But Pat McAfee and Michael Cole are proving you only need a two-man team. I know that extra hour, you know, is a big deal. But like I said, you don't see any of the announcers on Monday nights taking a smoke break during the three-hour Raw. So if all the commentators are going to be on for the full 3 hours, why do you need three instead of two? Just my honest opinion. But Rollins walks away, and Daniel Bryan with the running knee onto Jey Uso gets the pin. And then Daniel Bryan gets on the mic. Roman, hey, Roman. And they're taunting Roman Reigns. Wants Roman Reigns to accept Cesaro's challenge. And basically, Cesaro's going to keep doing the Cesaro swing on Jey Uso until Roman Reigns comes out. First time he does it, and Daniel Bryan probably shouldn't have counted at all, because Cesaro had done the swing already, I think almost 10 times, and then Daniel Bryan starts counting. And Cesaro must have done the swing about 50 times today, broken up through two. Sam is not sold on Pat McAfee yet. You know what's funny? Pat McAfee sounds a lot like Sami Zayn to me. You go back and you listen to his commentary, I think you'll agree. It just reminds me a little bit of Sami Zayn. But I thought he did a great job again. Great job. So they're taunting Roman Reigns. Cesaro hits the first swing 20, 25 times. Roman Reigns doesn't come out. Once Cesaro gets a little bit of his, faculties together, or gets his head together, because that does make him dizzy as well, he does the swing again. And, it's hilarious watching Cesaro do it the second time, because you're saying to yourself, are they, intentionally not playing Roman Reigns' music quick enough to see how long he could go? But then, he dropped Jey Uso, and Roman Reigns' music never hits. So it basically makes Roman Reigns look like a wimp. Makes Roman Reigns look like a loser. A double loser. A championship loser. Universally loser. Fun opening hour. Again, almost a whole hour. In the back, Adam Pearce is with Sonya Deville. Apollo Crews pissed off. He's got to defend his title tonight. He's going to take on Kevin Owens. A little bit later, Kevin Owens cuts a promo. He's been waiting years for this IC title shot. He's not going to turn it down. He wants this shot. Doing a good job to make the match seem important, even though we knew what the outcome was going to be. Big E interrupts Kevin Owens, throwing a little smack to Kevin Owens for jumping the line. And they're exchanging a couple of laughs, but Kevin Owens really wasn't laughing. He walks off. So we get a match later on, Apollo Crews with Aziz versus Kevin Owens. Nia Jax, more cacas. Nia Jax comes out with the returning Reginald, Shayna Baszler. Reginald no longer sick. And this is the continuation of the awful storyline. Now it seems they didn't learn with Bianca and Sasha Banks. Now they're making Reginald the reason of Nia and Shayna starting to split. So Nia Jax today takes on Tamina. Nia taunted Tamina, I did this for you. I came to your show to do this for you. They're having an okay match. Natty's at ringside as well. And basically, Reginald causes a little bit of a distraction. Shayna Baszler gets kind of involved in it as well and hit. Shayna's getting a little pissed off at Reginald. Reginald trips, falls on his ass. And Nia Jax, with the horrendous acting, what's going on? And she looks the other way. And what happens? Tamina gets the upper hand. And we got the fruit roll-up. Tamina rolls up Nia Jax. After that, why is Shayna Baszler so irate when Nia Jax loses singles matches? A long time ago, Shayna Baszler would laugh at that. The storyline is just awful. The only thing good about it is maybe Tamina will end up becoming a tag team champion. That's where they may be going with this. The problem is that they keep Nandi Rose and Dana Brooke still around this storyline, and, just focus on one team for now, in my opinion. Oh, yeah, Kevin Milwaukee. My hair, my hair, my hole, my hair, my leg. She's tripping over everything. So Tamina gets the win. We get Daniel Bryan confronts Adam Pearce. Is Cesaro getting the shot? Cesaro says he's working on it. He's trying hard. Daniel Bryan says, try harder. Now, I don't mind that storyline all that much, but, you know, Daniel Bryan just had a wrestling. This is the problem I have with this storyline. And I think you'll all agree with me on this. Do you remember that crazy, passionate, awesome promo that Daniel Bryan cut and Edge a couple of days before WrestleMania? Do you remember that promo Daniel Bryan cut? It was awesome. 2 weeks later, on TV, his mindset is, let him have the title shot. And this is all happening because of what's going on with his contract. So, we don't know what's going to happen later. Caleb Braxton interviews Paul Heyman. Are we going to get an answer from Roman Reigns later? And Paul Heyman, you know, saying some hilarious stuff, talking about the Cesaros of the world, and Cesaro is his favorite Cesaro, and this and that. And he's giving a spoiler that Roman Reigns will give an answer later on. Benjamin, I could care less if Caleb Braxton is overtanned. Anybody that wants to enjoy the sun, good for them. Especially if, you know, they're in warmer weather. I don't care. Let it have fun. That's how I look at it. We got kind of a goofy segment. We had Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode given predictions of who's going to win later on tonight of Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus Chad Gable and Otis. The same inter. You would think this is leading to WrestleMania, the way these matches keep continuing. And you know where it's going. They want to have history again. They want to have the first father and son tag team champions in WWE. Period. That is the goal. That will happen. Father and son will be tag team champions. So as Ziggler and Roode are cutting a promo with Caleb Braxton, the Street Profits interrupt. They have a little bit of back and forth banter. Bayley shows up, and Bayley is talking smack about Bianca Belair, because for those that don't know, at WrestleMania Backlash, we will have Bianca Belair defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bayley. So Bayley talking smack to Montez Ford about Bianca Belair. We go to commercial, we come back. Bianca Belair is in front of Bayley. Bayley changes her tune, trying to be nice. This is to set up the match. So now we get Rey and Dominic. They defeat Chad Gable and Otis. Fun match. Honestly, not trying to be disrespectful. Same shit we've seen for the last two months. I mean, you saw those four tag teams, and I think we even talked about this a couple of weeks before WrestleMania. You're going to see, you know, Gable and Roode have one-on-one matches with whoever's going to be vying for the tag team titles. And then you'll see Dominic and Rey versus Chad and Otis. And then you'll see Dominic and Rey versus the Street Profits. And then you'll see the Street Profits versus Chad Gable and Otis. And then you'll see That's all it is, over and over and over and over and over again. But now, because we're getting the WrestleMania Backlash, and because they want to put the focus on WrestleMania Backlash, on the SmackDown Tag Championships, and not AJ Styles and Omos right now, and you know we've talked a little bit about Omos the last couple of days, we should have him back on Monday. They want to have Rey and Dominic making history. So that's where this is going. And with that said, we're at the final segment of tonight. Like I said, very easy SmackDown to cover today. Some of these SmackDowns are actually enjoyable to cover like this. Tonight was a great example of less is more. You don't need to have 95 segments. You don't need to have... We talked about Aleister Black segment earlier, so that's awesome. That'll go on for a month before we see anything further. But we get to the very end. Dominic and Rey win their match. Daniel Bryan and Cesaro come out, congratulate them, and now they're in the ring, and they're calling out Roman Reigns. Finally, Roman Reigns comes out, and we're wondering if he's going to accept the challenge for Cesaro. But instead, we find out that next week, Roman Reigns will defend the Universal Championship against Daniel Bryan. And if Daniel Bryan loses, Roman Reigns does not want to see Daniel Bryan anywhere around SmackDown anymore. Now, we know about the contract situation, but the more I was thinking about it, the more I was saying to myself, okay, maybe Daniel Bryan will go to Raw, because there are quite a few talents on Raw that he could actually work with. Now, it's not saying that he didn't work with them before, but Roman Reigns didn't say, I don't want you anywhere around WWE. He just said SmackDown, his show, SmackDown, his show. So Daniel Bryan, you know, we kind of see where this is going. Remember, if he doesn't win the title, not if he wins the match, that's two totally different things. If he doesn't win the title, so Daniel Bryan, next week might be his last appearance on SmackDown. Next week also, we have Big E taking on, oh, I didn't even mention that match, forgive me. Apollo Crews versus Kevin Owens. Fun match. Aziz at ringside, you know, going at it. Kevin Owens getting a little bit of the upper hand, and he does, you know, get some offense on Apollo Crews. And now Michael Cole is trying to tease it like, you know, Kevin Owens may actually win this. Now, you know, Apollo Crews is not losing his belt this soon. Now, I thought Big E's music was going to hit because of the little confrontation that he had with Kevin Owens earlier. But instead, we get Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn comes out doing a little bit of commentary and taking in the match. In the end, Kevin Owens gets distracted from Aziz. Apollo Crews gets the win. And what are they calling it? The Nigerian Nail? Aziz grabs Kevin Owens and nails him with the Nigerian Nail. Aziz looked great. Looked great. I like Dabo Kato. I like the Aziz character. No issues with it whatsoever. But it was hilarious because after Kevin Owens got hit with the Nigerian Nail, now you got Sami Zayn in the ring again. Dancing like he does. There's a cool shirt. I might actually pick it up. There's a cool shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees, and it's all going towards his fund that he does for Syria, you know, with the water and charity. It's a really, really, and it's all it is shots of Sami Zayn when he was doing his dance in the suit a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, that was a fun match too. Later on, not Kayla Braxton, the new announcer, Megan Morant, she interviews Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews is happy. No Aziz, by the way, but Apollo Crews is happy and he's going to celebrate. Next thing you know, Big E shows up, attacks Apollo, kind of like reminded you of a couple of weeks ago to set up their match at Mania. And we find out that next week on SmackDown also, we're going to have Apollo Crews defending the Intercontinental Championship against Big E. So two very big matches announced for next week. And like I said, could be the last time we see Daniel Bryan on SmackDown for the foreseeable future. So decent SmackDown. I really cannot complain about this week's SmackDown. So a couple of super chats. Super chats? Did I just say super? SoFly Bumor, shout out to you, my friend. His takeaways from tonight, Sami Zayn is a great dancer. Yeah, he is. Kayla Braxton with the tan. I don't know why everybody's so like a bit. I know what you're saying about her tan, but I don't really care. I mean, this is no joke. I got to find pictures of it. But I used to tan so much that people used to think I was Dominican. I swear to God, I had a couple of people, I mean, we're talking 25 years ago. I had people say to me, like, are you Spanish? That's how dark I was. Look, they're in Florida, beautiful weather, you're on the beach, you're enjoying yourself. You know, I don't have any issues. I don't have any issues. So I have no problem with Kayla Braxton. I had that little skirmish with her a couple of years ago over the 7-Eleven incident. But, you know, I have been nothing but respectful towards her. She does a great job. Very well liked. You know, it can't say anything bad about Kayla Braxton. So, and thank you for the kind words, Soulfly. I mean, by Monday, I should know my results. You know, I might even know over the weekend because the imaging place that I have my account with, I have an online account, so I can view all my records. So then you know those records are going to be put into my file. So even before I go to my doctor next week, I'm going to read those results. So, and I'll share whatever it is. And you know me, I'm very transparent because of all the fake shit on social media. You know, if something pops up, I'll show it to you all. Hopefully it's nothing. Hopefully it's, I don't want it to be something. So the W got, oh, you got your Macho Man shirt. Cool. Cool. Glad you enjoy it, man. By the way, two people that I owe prizes to yesterday, Tangelo, and I can't remember who was, Sam won yesterday. I think it was Sam and Franklin Tangelo. I will be emailing you both today, hooking up your shit. So I haven't had a chance to check emails yet today, but I'm glad you got the shirt. Very cool. I'm up to date with prizes. You know, some of the shirt companies are a little bit longer to do their stuff with others, but WWE's been pretty quick with their stuff lately. Crazy Cruiserweight, what's Randy Orton doing right now? He's probably home with his family. It's the weekend. It's not Raw. He's probably taking it easy. So, by the way, I don't know if you all saw this, but they are hyping this match for Monday. Now, why are they still showing them wearing masks? I mean, is it that lazy? They couldn't have taken a picture with them without masks now. So, I don't know. Maybe they come out with the masks again, and then they take them off before their match. I mean, Santos Escobar does that. A few people do that with masks. So, you know, like I said, I'm a fan of T-Bar. I'm a fan of Mace. The Retribution storyline was horrendous. You saw from day one, WWE wanted to do Antifa stuff, and it backfired to the point where Fox absolutely refused to have it on their show. They hit that one episode of SmackDown with the TV-14 rating, and Retribution was never on SmackDown again, and that is a fact. So, you know, let's see where this goes. If they become part of the Hurt Business, it just... Okay, T-Bar and Mace, maybe they'll be utilized better. But it still just baffles me. They had such a good thing going with the Hurt Business. And it's funny because the WWE auction site right now, they got a really cool Hurt Business photo autographed by all four guys. And I was going to grab one. But the price is so freaking insane right now. And yes, it's probably more valuable because they did split up. But there was... You know, there's a saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I don't know what was the obsession with them splitting up. Unless they want Lashley surrounded by big men. I don't know. But Randy Orton, you know, we don't know what this storyline is going to be from here. I mean, Randy Orton, they had him interacting with a couple other wrestlers, teasing that he could still go for the heavyweight title. It obviously didn't happen last week. Randy Orton's been doing a great job. Randy Orton had a phenomenal match with Riddle last week, and maybe that feud continues. And remember, last week, Randy Orton was supposed to take on Braun Strowman. They scrapped that. Instead, they went with Randy Orton and Riddle. And, man, talk about an unexpected match that ended up being phenomenal. So I would like to see Riddle and Randy Orton continue their feud. Why not? So Fly, WWE should work out some deal to send Dominic to Mexico to train and get great at lucha. Dominic has been trained by Lance Storm. Dominic's been trained by his own father. Dominic, he is adjusting to the WWE way of life in the ring. And, you know, I'll give you a good example. If any of you out there that never saw Ricochet wrestle in Japan, if you've never seen him work as Prince Puma, go out of your way to watch some of his work. It's not like he's 50 years old now or even 45 years old with bad legs and he can't move around anymore. You see what Ricochet did, some of his moves before going to WWE, it will blow your mind. WWE does not want a lot of that arsenal. Sometimes for a very special match or a very special event, you'll see something whipped out. But a lot of these guys could do so much more, but WWE is more about prolonging careers. And in a lot of cases, less is more. And when you're trained by Lance Storm especially, I mean, you know, that is, I hate using the term privilege in 2021, the way it's thrown around in the news. But man, talk about an awesome privilege to be trained by Rey Mysterio and Lance Storm. Can you get any better than that? So he could do a lot more, so Fly. Just with WWE, they want him to last a long time. By the way, what happened with Murphy? He's gone again, everybody. He's gone. Maybe Murphy joins up with Aleister Black. I know they, you know, were involved before, but I think Murphy with a little bit of a darker character. Be interesting to see how Seth Rollins would intertwine with this. But again, Seth Rollins is no longer like a really dark character. To me, he's like a televangelist ripoff. And I say that complimentary. I really enjoy Seth Rollins' character. I mean, I don't understand why some people out there just absolutely despise the man. I'm entertained by Seth Rollins. So, and Cruiserweight, how many recaps are we going to get? You know, Monday, we were going to do a recap of last week's show, just as a joke. But all of you, your precious time tuning into our stuff, we're not going to piss you off like that. Oh, we'll have recaps like crazy last week, especially since now we got the, you know, T-Bar and Mace taking on Drew and Braun Strowman. And before WrestleMania, we had that discussion. Everybody, for the most part, was annoyed about Braun Strowman versus Shane at Mania. And we kept saying, soon as Mania is over, Braun will be elevated to the main event status. Will he be going up against Lashley anytime soon? Yeah, that's very possible. It's very possible. But this is a way of elevating. And you know what? Maybe this could help bring T-Bar and Mace to a different level and get away from that stigma that they got from Retribution. So, Mystery Man, thank you. Yes, almost 20,000. It's taken a while, but like I said, I want it to happen organically. You know, there's a lot of people out there. I mean, you could tell by some of their numbers, you know, that it's, that I know one guy, it's not a wrestling show, so no one start thinking controversy, but there's one guy out there that has 137,000 subscribers. And I happen to like his shows. It's nutrition. And he gets 400 views, 200 views, 600 views if he's lucky. And I'm like, how do you have 140,000 subscribers? And he's got the YouTube plaques in the background, and he can't even get 1,000 views, you know? And he has no audio-only option. See, at least with my shows, I mean, it's just the fact that 75 to 80% of everybody who enjoys my shows choose audio-only. Not everybody likes video. Not everybody wants video. Not everybody can just look at a video screen for 2 hours. Some people listen, they're doing work, they're cleaning, they're hanging out, they're lounging, and they just want to hear the audio. So, you know, but yeah, so Fly, people working actively against me. It's all good, my friend. It's all good. It's not gonna divert me in any way. You know, next year will be my 25th year doing this stuff. I'm an old man now. If you think about it, if you want me to play on numbers, I'm in my fourth decade doing this. 1990s, 2000s, 2010s, 2020s. As long as you keep tuning in, I'll keep banging this out. If there are people out there that hate it, despise it, oh fucking well. That's all I have to say. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, there's some very bitter people out there, and, you know, I must be doing something right for them to still be that bitter. You know, if I suck so bad, don't even think about me. That's how I look at it. I have never tuned into a Bruce Mitchell podcast. I have never listened to more than 45 seconds of Wade Keller. Just wasn't for me. So if I don't like it, I just don't even pay attention to it. So I don't think I'm the best one out there, Sam, though. Everybody has a different style. But let's talk. Let's do the quarter hour ratings. Oh, you know what? Before that, I got to mention this. It's really, really sad. You know, I've gotten a lot of, I hate using the term heat because I'm not in the business, but I have gotten a lot of heat over the years, always saying that I enjoyed Mongo McMichael. I always enjoyed his work in WCW. He tried hard, legitimate football player, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion. You know, going on to wrestling is not very easy, especially at a latter age and, you know, with some bad legs. But Mongo, I thought, did a decent job. You know, I never liked him with, you know, the dog at ringside. Didn't fit him. But if you haven't heard, in Chicago, it all came out today. And then the wrestling world picked up on it. Steve Mongo McMichael has Lou Gehrig's disease. And we saw pictures of him a couple of years ago, and he had lost some weight, but still, you know, looked, you know, like a skinnier version of Mongo. And this is what Mongo looks like now. The Lou Gehrig's disease, I think that's Jarrett Clayton. No, Jarrett Payton. Yeah, Clayton. Jarrett Payton, I believe that is. But Mongo McMichael, the ALS has affected him so much that he can't use his arms anymore. His hands, his legs for the most part, well, his feet, I should say. He's in really, really bad shape. If you do a Google search, you'll see some Chicago media covering this story the last day or two, and it's really, really sad. There's a GoFundMe out there to help alter his house. So he could have ramps put in for wheelchairs. And I know what some of you are going to say. When you see the pictures of him in his house, I know some of you are going to say right away, it's a nice house. What does he need money for the ramps? Trust me, because I'm in the insurance business. I know this. It's not simply just building ramps. The amount of money that's involved of getting permits and inspections and insurance, and you have to actually have an architect manipulate. There is so much involved for simple things. My father put an elevator in the house that he's working on because he thinks, like, you know, as he gets older and my mom gets older, they're not going to be able to walk up a couple of flights of stairs. So he started looking into putting in like an elevator to go up 2-3 floors. And the amount of money was so expensive, he couldn't do it, couldn't afford it. So, you know, it's a real shame. I mean, it's a real shame. You know, I know people have joked over the years about Mongo's wrestling ability or inability in the ring, but now real life takes over. And, you know, the world is showing a lot of love and support for Steve McMichael right now. So, you know, or my prayers are with him. I'm not going to throw out the generic best wishes to Mongo McMichael. You got Lou Gehrig's disease. You know, best wishes ain't going to do shit. Prayers, strength, support, love, thoughts, that is what's needed. So, Twix, I can't, there's no such thing as hooking up my father with insurance. I don't take commission, but I can't tell the insurance company, yeah, give him a break, he's my dad. I pay regular price for my own insurance. By the way, shout out to the family. Shout out to the family, much love. I will be uploading tomorrow the members-only Q&A up here. So thank you all that sent in questions for that. That will be online tomorrow. So look out for that. And let's get into the quarter-hour ratings. NXT AEW. AEW went down, what, 140,000 viewers, 150,000 viewers. Not a big deal. Mike Tyson heavily advertised for the week before, so you knew there was going to be a surge for Mike Tyson being on the show. Richard Adams says, do I ever think it's, I think he means this is a legit question. Do I ever think it's a coincidence that Lou Gehrig died from Lou Gehrig's disease? They named the disease after him. At the time, it wasn't called Lou Gehrig's disease. So I understand why you asked the question, though. I know it's not meant to, you know. Anyway, so AEW this week, you know, a little bit of a drop. I think a million viewers is going to be about average for them. And I tell you what's so interesting about this. Look, back in 2000, you didn't have Twitter. You didn't have Facebook. I think we have MySpace. Pretty sure we have MySpace. You have message boards. Obviously, you didn't have streaming media like it is now. But when ECW first debuted on TNN, the Nashville Network. Remember TNN? We got Pop. They averaged 1.0, around a million plus viewers, maybe even a little bit more than a million. So AEW's numbers right now in 2021, having that kind of number, it's actually a little bit better a number compared to before because there's so many alternate ways to see the product. So, you know, the million viewers, 1.1 million, is decent. It's definitely decent. NXT, you know, being in the eights, that's decent also. But again, in my opinion, NXT should have bigger numbers right now because you had so many AEW fans that they could have convinced to tune into Tuesday Night Wrestling since AEW is not on Tuesday night. And a very small number of them are doing that. I know because there's no longer a Wednesday night competition, and yes, there was, you know, all the people that are writing their essays now and doing podcasts saying that there was no real war, you should have wrote that shit for the last year and a half. You write it after the fact, nah, very convenient. There was competition. And you know how I prove that? Look at the difference of NXT the last 2 weeks compared to when they were on Wednesdays. They have put almost all of the shitty wrestling ratings grabbers all on the show at the same time. In previous weeks, some of them were non-existent. Everrise disappeared for a couple of months. They made one cameo for 10 seconds like a month ago. Suddenly they go to Tuesday nights and Everrise are back in the ring in a match. So don't tell me that there wasn't competition because there's a lot of people being used now that they started pulling off TV because their ratings sucked on Wednesdays. But again, because it's a fluff piece and everybody wants attention, that's what they have to write. So let's give you the breakdowns. Let's do NXT for actually, before I even do that, Impact Wrestling did 145,000 viewers, up from last week's 132. This is leading into Rebellion. Honestly, that number sucks going into Rebellion because up until February 23rd, okay, up until February 23rd, this is what Impact ratings were for the year. Now, obviously, we are going to leave out the last week in December because I think it was an anniversary show. But Impact Wrestling, going up to February 23rd, their ratings each week was 148, 161, 147, 186, 173, 153, 170. Higher numbers. Finjuice appears. Good Brothers lose their belts. Ty of Valkyrie is gone. And they push even more Omega versus Rich Swann. I think people forget that it's been like 4 months that they've been pushing this stuff. So now we go to the end of February. And this is what the ratings have been since. 134, 144, 146, 116, 149, 132, and 145. And the funny thing is, 149, the biggest rating since February 23rd, was a Thursday night, the same night they went up against night two of NXT TakeOver. Because you had NXT fans that were channel surfing and watching some Impact Wrestling. So their numbers have been very disappointing since February 23rd, and there's no sign of it increasing. So let's get into NXT this week. Hour number one, 819. Hour number two, 862,000 for a composite of 841,000. Opening quarter, Kyle O'Reilly and Cameron Grimes having a confrontation and a recap of last week that opened up at 855,000 viewers. Quarter number two, the arrival of Saray, her little confrontation in the back with Zoe Stark, which set up the match. LA Knight's promo and the very beginning of Dexter Lumis versus LA Knight. That rating went down 64,000 viewers to 791,000. Quarter three, the majority of Dexter Lumis versus LA Knight. Io Shirai's interview with Frankie Monet interrupting the interview. That quarter hour increased 51,000 viewers to 842,000. Quarter number four, the Grizzlian Veterans versus Breezango and the backstage interview with Cameron Grimes with the NFTs. That quarter hour dropped 55,000 viewers to 787,000. Saray versus Zoe Stark and then the aftermatch beatdown by Toni Storm. That quarter hour jumped 70,000 viewers to 857,000. The interview with Raquel Gonzalez, Candice LeRae getting beat up by Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon, the little extra with Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis, and the majority of Kushida versus Oney Lorcan. That quarter hour increased 32,000 viewers to 889,000. Quarter seven, Imperium versus Everrise. What the fuck did you think was going to happen? Dropped 77,000 viewers to 822,000. So the Grizzled Young Veterans, Breezango, Imperium, and Everrise, those two quarters combined dropped 130,000 viewers. I don't know what they thought was going to happen. Main event, Kyle O'Reilly versus Cameron Grimes increased 55,000 viewers to 877. AEW, hour number one, 1,148,000 viewers. Hour number two, 1,060,000 viewers for a composite of 1,104,000 viewers. Interesting. Opening quarter, Adam Hangman Page versus Ricky Starks scored 1,192,000 viewers, more than the average for the night. Quarter number two, Penta versus Trent Beretta, that quarter hour dropped 68,000 viewers to 1,124,000. The interview with the Pinnacle backstage, the video package hyping up Hikaru Shida versus Ty Conti, that quarter hour dropped 24,000 viewers to 1,100,000 viewers. Quarter number four, Hikaru Shida versus Ty Conti for the women's title. Britt Baker coming out after the match and Miro's promo. That increased 75,000 viewers to 1,175,000. Not bad. The Inner Circle promo and then Billy Gunn versus QT Marshall. Now, this is a little deceiving because, again, we're not trying to stick the knife a little bit more with QT Marshall. But the first half of that quarter hour, they actually stood around 1.2 million. And then once Billy Gunn versus QT Marshall started, it dropped almost below 1 million. So the overall quarter dropped 83,000 viewers to 1,092,000. So who dat 3 weeks in a row? Who dat QT Marshall owns the worst quarter hour rating and the biggest ratings drop of the night. 3 weeks in a row. Just saying. Quarter number six, the segment with the Elite in the trailer, Moxley and Eddie Kingston showing up, ramming the truck into the empty trailer. That segment dropped 32,000 viewers to 1,060,000. Quarter seven, Christian Cage versus Powerhouse Hobbs and the hype for next week's Dynamite. That quarter hour dropped 22,000 viewers for 1,038,000. In the main event, Darby Allin defending the TNT Championship against Jungle Boy. That quarter hour increased 11,000 viewers to 1,049,000. So between the beginning of the night and the end of the night, they ended the night 150,000 viewers less than what they started. But overall, not bad at all. I mean, it's the usual spikes, the drops. It's the same people repeatedly. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So those are your quarter hour ratings. And we're flying pretty good today. Hour and 20 minutes so far. By the way, if you're enjoying the show, smash that like button. Like, share, subscribe. Like, share, subscribe. Cool thing about it is it costs zero. Like, share, subscribe. By the way, Deanna Purrazzo did an interview. She wants to be involved in this, what they're calling a war between AEW and Impact Wrestling. She wants to wrestle on Dynamite. She wants to go up against Hikaru Shida. She wants to take on Britt Baker. And as of right now, both Impact Wrestling, well, mostly Impact Wrestling, has said no, no. So, oh, I can't wait if Tony, Mr. McCann, ends up turning. How are the bubbles tonight? They're okay. Very thirsty from drinking that contrast crap earlier. So, NWA, they announced their next pay-per-view. It's going to be June 6th, and they're calling it When Our Shadows Fall. That sounds like a fucking love song, or it sounds like a soap opera on TV. When Our Shadows Fall. How's about just like NWA Fight or Brawl When Our Shadows Fall? Is this In Your House? Like, In Your House, When Our Shadows Fall. I don't know. I think they overthunk that one. So, When Our Shadows Fall. God damn it. So what are we left with? Wow. We're left with Impact Wrestling Rebellion predictions. Let's go through these matches. I think some of you out there that have not been paying attention to Impact Wrestling, this is a pretty damn decent card, to be honest with you. We have Fire and Flava, Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz, defending the Knockouts Tag Team Championships against Jordynne Grace and Rachel Ellering. Rachel Ellering, you know, a little bit of a surprise coming into Impact Wrestling. I think she eats the pin. I say Fire and Flava retain the titles. Eight-man tag team match, Chris Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, and Willie Mack versus Violent by Design. Eric Young, Cody Deaner, Joe Doring, and Rhino. Oof. I gotta go with... Oh, boy. Wow, this is pretty interesting. You know what? I'm gonna go with Chris Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, and Willie Mack. I know the thinking is give a little bit of a rub to Violent by Design, but I don't know. I'll go with the veterans, the very grizzled old veterans. Trey Miguel versus Sami Callihan, last man standing match. Man, I want Sami Callihan to take this one, but I know a lot of you out there are thinking Trey Miguel is going to get this. I'm going to stick with Sami Callihan. Matt Cardona versus Brian Myers. Honestly, I know this is a fantasy match for some people out there, but I'm going to go with Brian Myers to get the win. I'm going to go with Brian Myers to get it. For people that don't know, Brian Myers is the Kurt Hawkins, and Matt Cardona is woo, woo, woo. Three-way match for the X Division title. Ace Austin defends the belt against Josh Alexander and TJP. TJP, he's bragging this week that he's on five different, like, big events, like different promotions. When you get watered down like that, you ain't winning no X Division title. So I say Ace Austin retains. For the Impact Knockouts title, Deanna Purrazzo defends against Tennille Dashwood. I say Deanna Purrazzo retains. Finn Juice defending the Impact tag titles against the Good Brothers. I tell you, Finn Juice came in with a little bit of a buzz online. People talking about the door's been, the forbidden door's been broken down. honestly, if the forbidden door was kicked down when Finjuice showed up, somebody repaired that door. Because Finjuice, honestly, there is virtually no buzz behind him whatsoever. Honestly, as I said 2 days this week, I close my eyes and I just think of the Elite and AEW, and it almost feels necessary that every member of the Elite has championships. I say the Good Brothers get those titles back. And this leads to the main event, Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega, title versus title, the AEW world title against the Impact world title. And again, Rich Swann is still coming out there holding two belts. One of the belts that they said really, you know, wasn't relevant, but he's still holding two belts. They ain't no way, nothing against Rich Swann. They ain't no way Rich Swann is walking out of Rebellion with three belts in his hand. But I could picture the storyline with the Elite and bragging about, you know, the Air Jordan Tier 1s or whatever those shoes the Young Bucks were wearing. I could see them all with titles, and I could picture Kenny Omega wearing one belt and having two in his arms. And something tells me that TNA championship, that'll disappear. So I'm going to say Kenny Omega is going to win. Now, I grew up a wrestling fan. I became a fan in 1979 as a little kid. And over the years, you would have some fantasy matches of a champion from one promotion taking on a champion of another promotion. In 1982, Ric Flair defended the NWA Heavyweight Championship against Bob Backlund, who was the WWF champion. There was no winner. Harley Race defended the NWA Championship once against Bob Backlund, the WWF Championship, and I think Harley Race may have been disqualified. So, but never did you see titles changing. So this is going to be extremely rare that a title changes. But Impact Wrestling, I mean, I think in the process they've lost more of their identity because they're depending so much on the outside storyline with AEW. And honestly, their numbers are still pretty pathetic. Their numbers might be better if they didn't have the AEW influence. But they are hell-bent on having this continue. And in the process, you know who's been hurt the most out of all of this? Moose. Moose has been hurt the most out of this. And, you know, maybe in the end, Moose takes the title from Kenny Omega, if that happens. But, man, talk about someone who is just totally been affected by this. I don't know. I mean, I could see it ending in a clusterfuck, but the fact you got Mauro Ranallo calling it, the fact that you have so much attention being brought to it, and this storyline has been going on for 4 or 5 months, and it's been very shoddy. You never once had the Impact wrestlers trying to invade AEW. So how could you call it a war where one side doesn't even want to invade enemy territory? You know what I mean? So now all of a sudden, everybody's trying to make it sound like they give a shit. So the fact that they're going this far with this much attention tells me it ain't ending in a clusterfuck. I could picture Mauro now. I could hear Mauro Ranallo's voice calling this with Kenny Omega, Mamma Mia, and he's got all the belts. So I think the Elite, every single member of the Elite, with the exception of Brandon Cutlet, which shouldn't be in the fucking picture, and Michael Nakazawa, even though I like him, remember that picture from Wednesday? Every member of the Elite should pose on camera with titles in their hands. So that's where I'm going with this. Somebody asked me earlier if I thought Violent by Design is kind of like a version of Sanity. Yeah, it could be. It could be. You know, they added Rhino to the group, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, it kind of gives me a little bit of a Sanity vibe. Sure. Absolutely. Sandman, Sizzle. Yeah, Moose kind of feels more. See, you know what it is? I'm not trying to take anything away from Rich Swann. Rich Swann is excellent. But Rich Swann, unfortunately, I think we'll always have that stigma that he's a cruiserweight champion, that he's a 205 live guy, that he's an X division guy. And Rich Swann has proved that he can carry a heavyweight championship. Problem is, just because you can handle it, carry it, represent it, hold it, doesn't mean that the fans are going to buy into it. And I think they buy into Rich Swann more as an X division champion. And you see Moose, and he's a fucking moose, and you see his arsenal, that is better suited. But again, they have this light heavyweight vibe with this AEW invasion with Kenny Omega, so they would rather see Kenny Omega go at it with Rich Swann than Moose. And the match is probably going to kick ass. It's going to be a phenomenal match. But I just feel like fans never really bought into Rich Swann. Because even when you look at the ratings breakdown since January, I think Moose was still the champion, the TNA champion, by as of February 23rd. So he lost it shortly after that. So I think up until that time, you split the attention with heavyweight titles. You had Rich Swann, but you also had Moose. So all the focus was not just on Rich Swann. For the last 2 months, all the focus has been on Rich Swann, and the numbers have gone down. So, oh yeah, the memories, Kurt Angle there, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, Ilik Skipper. Those are good memories, good memories. But so that is your Rebellion card. I think it's going to be very good, and we will see what happens. We'll see if every member of the Elite shows up on Dynamite Wednesday, all holding gold. It's going to be very interesting. But Moose could be a WWE champion. Why not? I mean, the guy, before 2021 ends, Moose will be Impact Wrestling champion. I don't even think it's a question. Unless there's a contract issue, I don't see how that doesn't happen. The guy is pretty damn good. But they focused on this storyline. And you know what? It's probably better that they didn't have Moose involved in this storyline all that much because, you know, they really mishandled it. You know, we've been talking about this storyline for 4 or 5 months now. I mean, I was looking at recaps from January. In January, they were hyping up the Motor City Machine Guns and Rich Swann versus the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega. You realize how many months they have stretched this. So, personally, I think you probably would have damaged Moose during the process. Rich Swann, I think it's been handled a little bit different, so... But, yeah, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I just saw this now. Yeah, Crazy Cruiserweight. When Our Shadows Fall, starring August Gray. Tell me that doesn't sound like... That sounds like a bad film. I honestly, I know the NWA with the storylines, why they're going with that. But you don't have to overthink it. Easy, catchy name, fun name. That sounds like a... something you would see on daytime television. NWA presents When Our Shadows Fall. God. Billy Corgan, don't be that overdramatic, seriously. And you're charging $19.99 on top of it. So, Ted Turner SmackDown was pretty decent today. A very easy show to cover. And why does Moose stay in TNA, Twix? Because he has a contract there. Because he would be better utilized there. You see WWE right now, there are too many names that he would have to overcome. Maybe he likes the lighter schedule. Maybe he doesn't want to work, you know, that pressure with WWE. Right now, because of COVID, you've been pretty much in one spot. But as Nick Khan said earlier this week, that they are going back to touring. Absolutely. You know, all that stuff that was fed to you was a lie. They are going to go back to touring. So not everybody can handle those schedules. So, but anyway, with that said, I think I'm going to jet out of here. I think we've covered everything we needed to cover tonight. And you know what? Maybe Monday, if Raw really sucks and, you know, it doesn't deserve, you know, a full-blown entire show recapping Raw, maybe Mish and I will discuss Impact Wrestling Rebellion on Monday. We'll see what happens. I honestly think Raw Monday is going to be a much better show compared to the last 2 weeks. We'll see what matches are added to Rebellion, because right now, really, I mean, you know, Cesaro versus Roman Reigns is being added to WrestleMania Backlash. Cesaro versus Roman Reigns is definitely going to be added. You got Bianca Belair versus Bayley, and you have Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. So there's going to be additional matches added. But, yeah, look, King of Hueco, if Impact Wrestling starts to generate bigger ratings and get a lot more buzz, I will be more than happy to cover it more every week. The fact of the matter is, you know, when they're getting 1/5, 1/6 the ratings of NXT, almost 1/10 the rating of AEW, and their pay-per-view buy rates many times don't even hit 10,000, you know, and almost everyone here doesn't watch Impact Wrestling, I'm not going to spend more than a couple of quick minutes to talk about it. Same thing with NWA. It's nothing against NWA, but right now, maybe 2% of everybody that tunes in here tunes into it. Once it gets bigger, once it gets more traction, once it gets more eyes on them again, we'll cover it more. But I'm going to jet out of here, everybody. So post your comments in the comment section. I truly would love your thoughts on what I said earlier about Mickey James. Again, I'm still a huge fan of hers. I'm a fan of hers for life. She's a really good person outside of wrestling. She got really, you know, shortchanged the last 3 years in WWE. I know she got paid comfortably, but she doesn't have many years left in the ring. In the last 3 years, WWE's pretty much said, like, okay, you know, you really, you know, you're not worth the, you know, the time in the ring. And yes, WWE has a lot of other women that they want to develop and escalate. They have a lot of women already that are top stars. And without trying to cause controversy, when you think of Asuka, you think of Sasha Banks, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, because Ronda was there when Mickey James was there. You think of Charlotte, and I could continue. I mean, where did Mickey James in the last 3 years think that she was going to leapfrog any of them? There's too many women that she would have had to leapfrog. So maybe, you know, the way she was used over the last 3 years, because of the number of big-time stars that they have in the women's roster, maybe we didn't, well, I know we didn't expect her to not be used this badly, but maybe some solid storylines and some feuds along the way. It doesn't necessarily mean that she had to win a championship, but, you know, you look at the roster, you start dissecting it, and you start saying to yourself, okay, I could understand why WWE didn't push her, but just to keep her on the shelf and not use her at all and keep insisting on the legendary status as a way to, like, not make her feel that she's just a member of the main roster like everyone else. We got to put her in legendary status, because legendary status means that, you know, she's pretty much retired. And if she doesn't think that she's retired, we'll make everybody else think that she's close to retired. So let me know what you thought about what I said earlier. I wasn't trying to be mean, but I truthfully believe that Mickey James made a huge error in this case. And it's a bigger issue with people online that insist that they got to vent everything, put the dirty laundry out in public for everybody to see. You know, sometimes that, if that's a last resort for someone, I get it. But in this case with Mickey James, you know, instead of sending him an email to Vince or an email to Stephanie or Triple H, and if she got no response, she could have emailed them with a picture and then see what kind of response she got. And if they would have apologized to her privately, and that could have been handled privately. But that wasn't even attempted. It was, oh, let me post it online so the entire world could see it and the entire world could gang up on WWE. And then somebody lost their job over it. And because Mickie James is such a good person, she felt terrible for that person. But in nowhere in her statement was there anything about that person shouldn't have been fired and this and that, because she was only thinking about herself. And we probably cannot blame her for that because she was very, very hurt. But Charlie is saying, what comment section? After the show is over, you're able to post feedback in the comment section on YouTube as far as the show and the content and everything else. So anyway, I am going to get out of here, and I am going to put up timestamps tonight. I actually, hopefully this thing didn't dry. I have my list of topics here, so I'm going to play it back, match up the times, and post it for everyone in case you want to skip through particular topics. And that's pretty much it. So I want to thank you all for tuning in, as always. Much love. And if you're a channel subscriber, you'll have the Q&A posted tomorrow. If not, Mish and I will be back here on Monday for Breakfast Soup Raw. So have a great weekend. If you tune into Rebellion, enjoy it. I think we got that Roddy Piper biography this weekend also. Tomorrow I'm watching Austin's, and over the weekend I'm going to watch Piper's. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that Monday as well. And Sam, I did get you a Twitter DM, and I'm going to take care of it tonight. So no worries. But everyone be well. Thank you, as always, for the support. Much love. And I'll see you either tomorrow on the Q&A or Monday with Mish. So good night, everybody. Ciao.